you may argue we have a dream job. And today might be one of those days, Dan, because I'm so fired up. Despite the football we've talked and the basketball we've talked, really the highlight of the show for today is right now. On our phone lines, Mark Margolese joins us.
Hello.
Hi, Mark.
Hi. Is this a sports show, I think.
Sort of.
You may have the wrong guy, because when I was a kid, they used to say, no, we had Margolese last time. You get him this time.
Well, all of us are in the same boat, or else.
I'm sorry for butchering your name, by the way.
That's all right.
Margolese.
It's L-I-S, so it's Liss instead of L-I-E-S. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
That's all right. It's been done many times.
All right, well, we wanted you on for many reasons. In fact, you have a very entertaining IMDb page where we can find out all the many things you've been on. But let's not kid ourselves. We really want you on because you're Hector Salamanca. You're our Uncle Tio. You just such a meaningful role you played in one of our very favorite TV shows. And
so I probably shouldn't speak. I should just answer with a bell.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about just the idea that a guy with pretty much a bell could play such a meaningful role, especially, I know we had flashbacks and things, but really in the end, you want to talk
about... There were only two flashbacks. Everything else I did was without the ability to say anything.
Brilliant. And
it's almost got to be like, I don't know, as an artist or, you know, that's true acting, you know?
I guess, it's not as complicated. I've heard this from other people. It's not, because the same intentions are there. The person or me moves in that direction, whether I have words or not. You know, in the acting world, there are teachers like Strasberg who used to say, and others. I mean, the words are not the critical thing. The words come as the result of whatever you're trying to do or get. You use words, but the impulse is in you to begin with. So those impulses were all in me, even though because my mind works. Tio's mind works.
How'd the role work out for you? I'm curious. In fact, when you heard what the role exactly was,
thought, great, I don't have to learn any lines. That was my first thought.
Yeah, it is very unique, I would imagine.
But, I'm joking. In a way, I still had to know what was going on. I mean, I had to listen just like you do if you're going to speak and respond accordingly. The only thing I always add is the one odd thing that I had that really made it, I don't know if you recall, there's a strange kind of a jiggling of one side of my mouth that I do as Tio, where
yes.
It kind of pushes out and in and out and in. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, absolutely,
about? Almost like someone who maybe is chewing tobacco in a weird way without any teeth. The interesting sad or whatever part of that is... my wife's mother was in a nursing home for a great number of years. She had had a stroke, and she couldn't talk, and she was being fed on a tube. It was an awful existence. She should have been let go a long time before. In any case, we'd go down and visit her, and the only thing, she could sort of understand some things, and her mouth would do those movements. So I kind of stole that, so to speak, from her. It's an homage to Shirley, my mother-in-law. If I hadn't seen her doing that, I would have been relatively immobile, and I don't think that would have been as interesting. So in the midst of her tragedy, I got a wonderful thing out of her. So it's a kind of a macabre thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
It's a... Mark Margolese with us on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket, and I suppose for many, many years, and like I said, I don't know what happens when people walk up to you on the street sort of thing, but clearly all roads lead back to Scarface, right, for many,
yeah,
many
well,
years?
The wonderful thing is this year I've been I've been stopped about 9 out of 10 times in New York City on the streets, on the subways, for Breaking Bad, and that never happened before. For years and years, it was like, for the first 3 years, it was like people, yeah, I heard of it, but I've never seen it, or my friend says it's good, or I never heard of it. This year, it was all Breaking Bad. Before that, it was always Scarface.
And then, so it never had an Oz run, huh?
I know there are people that get me on Oz, a lot of people, which is odd because I seem to have a big following in Oz, and I was never that crazy about myself in Oz, but then actors have problems with their own performances. I always say it's a little bit like when people listen to their voice on a tape recording and they go, oh, is that me? I sound so da-da-da-da-da, you know?
So
it's hard to watch yourself. The only way I can ever do it is if I go back and look at something 10 years later.
Uh-huh.
Then I think that was a lot better than I thought it was. And I wasn't as bad looking as I thought I was back then.
What were your problems with what you did on Oz?
I don't know. I mean, there's a side of me that I the one thing that I like is that I think maybe I'm fooling myself. I tend to always want to go away from what those other guys do with the dims and these and those's kind of stuff, you know, the that kind of mafia thing.
Yeah,
where they all talk that way. Because when I was a kid in Greenwich Village, I used to occasionally there were these social cult clubs, so-called, that were inhabited by mafia chieftains and soldiers. And occasionally I'd have some conversation with one of these guys for whatever reason. I wasn't involved with them, one of the older guys. And they weren't always that way. There were a couple of them that you wouldn't know them from a CEO of an insurance company. They didn't always sound like everybody sounds on Scarface. So I'm saying I think I did a little... I didn't go that way, the way those guys go on Oz, so I like that. I don't know, there was something about it, I thought maybe there were more colors that I could have brought to it. It just always struck me in a strange way.
But
other people seem to love it.
Yeah, I was a big fan of yours. I went YouTubing last night just to remind myself about your storyline there. And
Antonio?
I forgot that, remember how he died, Bob?
I don't remember. I remember how he died in Scarface, and I remember how he died in Breaking Bad. Well, seems like you die a lot on a lot of these projects.
Yeah, come on. No, the
That's
guy...
That's what keeps me alive.
The guy... You, of course, remember how you died, right?
Yes. There was another inmate out of B.C.
Yeah.
Who passed me on a staircase or a hallway and hit me with a needle that was infected with the AIDS virus.
The AIDS needle.
Oh no.
Then I ended up in the AIDS ward, and I was housed in a cell with Charles Bush, who was kind of a transgender person. And they ended up getting him to smother me.
Right.
I always joke that he smothered me. He didn't even kiss me before he smothered me.
Just your typical prison scene.
Hey, let's go get an AIDS needle so we can infect the mafia.
I was a couple of nights ago. I had a single scene in the new series, Person of Interest as a Mafia Don.
Uh huh.
And then again, whereas it was a good, clean performance, very simple. Somebody came to interview me at a prison. One of their principal actresses, Taraji P. Henson, who plays a detective. And I was a mafia don in prison for life. And what bothered me there was I thought it was just another extension of the Oz character. Again, I was bothered that couldn't I have done something else with that to make it a bit different. But I don't know. I guess there are limitations to what you can do. Well, or I always think of these things afterwards.
When you're driving home.
Well, that's the nice thing about, by the way, the live theater. When you work in a play, you have like if it's a big professional production, you have at least 4 weeks to rehearse, and then you do the performances. So after the first week, you start thinking everything I was doing that week was so wrong. You come back the next week, you have a whole new thing. You cannot do that with film. Whatever they got that day is what you're stuck with.
Now, let's ask you about the Breaking Bad role, which stuck with us so much as a character who, and by the way, one is no and two is yes. Is that right?
I don't really remember. I think, because it's a ding ding.
Yeah.
It'll get you a yes. Yeah.
Just, I got a million questions about this, but let me just start overall with how do you like how it wrapped up for you? Did you feel like that made lots of sense in the end?
Yes, it seemed quite appropriate. In fact, I knew it was going to go to something like that. In fact, I had made a suggestion to Vince earlier on about a way I thought that's very, very suited for New Mexico, that I thought I could be killed or almost killed, he didn't go with that. But somewhere about 2 months before I did it, he called me up in the morning, and I before he even spoke, I said, "I know you're calling me to tell me you're going to kill me," and he laughed, and he very quickly said, "But don't worry about it, because I bring people back from the dead, and I'm hoping that he does in a flashback, or maybe Walt will have a guilty dream for having put me up to it. And I also love going out to New Mexico." But yeah, I thought that was I kind of enjoyed taking down Gus that way. I got
awesome.
Off on that.
Man, that was awesome.
Very funny scene, too, about, you know, leading up to that, as far as when they took you out to the police station to spell
right,
out some
right, words. Where which the only reason for that was to get Gus's attention, so I took advantage of it and told those guys, so to speak, to get bent in so many words, especially Hank, which I rather enjoyed also. I liked the fact that I got very quick at working with that letter board.
Yes.
Banging out whatever it was.
Gosh, that was brilliant. What a brilliant season, and what a show. And it's funny you mentioned about people meeting you on the street, because I have found, and we've been with the show since season one, watching it as they're released, but I just sense that show has as much DVD momentum as anything, where people are catching up on the entire series.
Yes. I've run into a ton of people who have now seen the first three seasons through Netflix, and they're waiting for the fourth season to be released, because they don't have cable, and they don't get a what are we on, AMC?
Yeah.
By the way, to interject, one of the other things about it is it's probably the nicest, the best thing I've ever worked on in TV. I love going out there and doing the show. The people who do it and the directors are quite incredible, quite brilliant, very smart people. The writing is marvelous, because it's always, there are so many things that can go any number of ways. I mean, he's a brilliant man, Vince.
And he's
probably the most un-Hollywood guy I've ever met in that world.
And it's all done out in Albuquerque?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
And we did a couple of scenes on the outskirts of Albuquerque, that flashback that took place at the hacienda with Stephen Bauer, when we were all younger, that was done probably, I don't know, 20 miles outside of Albuquerque. Yeah,
I loved seeing Stephen Bauer cast in that role.
That was, well, I knew him from Scarface.
Yeah, yeah, Manny.
We had been in a play in New York also after Scarface together, something that John Malkovich directed, a production of Baum and Gilead. And I ran into him once in L.A., but it was a real neat surprise to see him doing that. And he did some funny things in that scene. He changed a few lines that they had given him in Spanish. He worked in a few English words that made it wittier in the midst of talking Spanish.
Oh, okay, and that's interesting. When we were watching one of your Scarface interviews, just probably from a couple months ago, in fact, I think you were out in L.A. doing some Scarface.
Oh, I went to the. They had a at the Belasco Theater. They had a Scarface. What do you call it? A party to bring out the Blu-ray version
okay.
of Scarface. I happened to be out in L.A. at the time. Stephen Bauer let them know that I was there, and they invited me.
I just found it interesting. In one of those interviews, you indicated that you're not terribly fluent in Spanish, despite your Scarface and your Breaking Bad Spanish exploits.
I can get by in a Spanish-speaking country. When I was much younger, I lived in Mexico for about 6 months, and I got really good at it because I had taken it in high school and college, and I was living in that world. But yeah, I've had some terrific tutors. I also had one tutor in New Mexico who gave me one line that a lot of people have issues with, though I've since found out that she wasn't wrong. I had argued it with her. When I did Scarface, I had a wonderful Colombian tutor to help me speak it as a native person by putting together words the way that a native speaker does. You can always tell someone from a foreign country because there's a certain clipped thing where each word is said.
Right.
But when we speak English, we sometimes run certain words together. He taught me to do the same thing with Spanish.
Nice.
I've had people that think I don't speak English because of Scarface. They thought I was so authentic in speaking it.
With the tons of things you've been in, what's your favorite role?
I don't think I have a favorite role. I mean, here's where we kind of get, I'll get silly again. I mean, I've had, like I worked for Ridley Scott in a film called 1492, Conquest of Paradise, which no one saw, because there was another film that came out with Brando also about Columbus at that time that got terrible reviews, so no one went. Anyhow, I say that was one of my favorites because I got an incredible trip to Spain. We lived in a gorgeous ancient building that had been turned into a hotel. The countryside was gorgeous. The costumes were gorgeous. And then we went to Costa Rica. So for that reason, it was a favorite film. But each thing is different. I have some things I didn't like doing, but there's tons and tons of things that I just love that I did. I on some level, I don't know. I mean, even weird things, like I've worked in Darren Aronofsky's movies. The first one he ever did, Pi, I really love doing that. I don't know.
All right. I just see you've been in so many things. I wondered how they stood out.
Yeah, my joke is that I have 1 minute in everything.
Well, you had way more than that in Breaking Bad, and that's why we'll never forget the role of the great Hector Salamanca.
I loved doing it. It was a wonderful thing. I also, what's his name? Bryan Cranston. You know, he did a wonderful thing. The first time I ever worked in it, that scene out in the shed in the desert.
Uh-huh.
There was one moment where I was trying to tell my nephew that they were trying to poison him before we got to the table, and I was dinging out an SOS very quickly, and Brian, who's smarter than me about television and whatever, said to me, "Do it slower. And that way Brian's character, will pick up on you sending an SOS. I'll hear the dot, dash, dot, or however SOS goes. Dot, I think it's dot, dash, dot, or dash, dot, dot. dot, dash, dot, I think. He said, if you do it slower, it'll throw terror into me because I'll know what you're doing. Because I was going very quickly with it. And I thought that was the guy was very smart.
Yeah, everybody, it just started airing again on AMC, I guess, 2 weeks ago, but they're airing them.
Oh, that's the fourth season?
Back at one.
They started with one, and, like, I'm getting my wife on board now. I know you are, Bob, but a
Absolutely.
Lot of people are...
I didn't come into... Well, Tell everyone not to watch it until it comes on to 2, because I'm not in it until 2.
Okay. All right. Well, don't worry about catching up just yet, but soon. Uncle Tia will be there soon. Well, Mark, it's a pleasure talking to you. I think we could have you on for hours, but we could, but you probably wouldn't want to be here.
I'll make you nervous.
And the advertisers would want us to take breaks.
May I
ask you for one more thing, though? It's what we call our wacky radio liner.
Yeah.
We would just like you to identify yourself and then say, I never listened to Bob and Dan on the Ticket.
On the Ticket?
Yes, sir.
What is the Ticket? Is that the name of your show?
That's our radio station. Yes, sir.
Okay. You want it to be an upbeat thing?
You know what? I want you to make it yours.
Okay. Tell me when to go.
Go ahead.
Hi, this is Mark Margolis, and I never listen to Bob and Dan on the Ticket.
There you go. That's
and
it.
Scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. One take.
It's great to hear you're okay. It wasn't really you in that show.
All right.
It's just your character. All right, Mark, nice to talk to you.
Would you tell American Airlines to treat me better next time I come through? That's where I come through when I'm going to Breaking Bad.
Oh, yeah?
Just don't.
Dallas, Fort Worth, yeah.
Well, if you need a ride anywhere, let us know.
I will. Thank you for calling. I'm flattered.
And don't play games on your cell phone or they'll kick you off.
Oh. I'll tell him. I have a friend that's a friend of his.
There you go.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Mark.
Bye, Mark.
There he is.
Mark, thanks again for doing that. All right. Hey, if you ever need anything from us, let Rob know and he can contact me, all right? All right, man. Thanks. Bye.
Rob Shickley?
Yeah, call Rob Shickley. He'll work it out for you. It's 2:39. That was Uncle Tio. And yes, we know that means Uncle on the Ticket.
Hi, this is George DeJohn. Every new